Are we really going into football games instead of like scheming a play for a first down and for a touchdown and for a victory? Are we really going in like, okay, got to get BA involved because we paid him? Is that really how coaches think? I would think and hope not, but that's kind of what that sounded like. And when you got a 1-2 football team and a now highly paid wide receiver who took everybody on a journey all offseason and now has the little things that are happening, a press conference to be like, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the rear at the end. That was my bad. And then I'm showing up in the wrong shorts. And instead of just like adjusting when my coach tells me to, we got to have a lengthy conversation about it. We got to look frustrated. We got to kick the shorts. You start doing all of this stuff. And I don't know, man, there's only one conclusion I can come to. None of this sounds like team to me. This all sounds like individual.
It doesn't sound like professional. I mean, put aside the team part of it, but you've got to be a pro. And whatever your job is, if you're a teacher or an electrician, or if you are a garbage collector or a mail deliverer or a sports talk radio host, there's a certain amount of professionalism that comes with every single job that's out there. And your job as an employee is to be a professional. And if you're making $30 million as a football player, or if you're making $17 an hour as a barista, your job is to be as professional as the job requires. And if you're a wide receiver and you're required to wear black shorts at practice and your job is to show up and play hard and do your level best, then that's the job. And if you have all these little things distracting you from being the best professional that you can be, that falls on you. And especially when you're in a spot like Brandon Ayuk is, where like nobody knows what I wear or if I wear clothes at all. If it wasn't for the YouTube audience,
if they only knew what was happening in this studio right now.
On the lower half, sure. Yeah. I could be rocking a diaper like my 2-year-old daughter.
There are news people who do that, by the way. For those of you who
quote, for sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, those of us, if you've been to a TV station, I did know a sports reporter who used to do that. Like,
diaper?
Tie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, suit jacket, collared shirt, like, you know, hair, boom, all set. And I mean underwear.
Yeah.
Underwear and flip-flops.
Exactly.
Under that desk.
I knew a guy who did the same thing. And it was, you know, it doesn't matter because the professionalism is not about the lower half in your attire. But when you're Brandon Ayuk, you need to understand that every single thing you do from the moment you leave your house is possibly going to be recorded and scrutinized.
Of course. I mean, gosh, how could he not know that by now?
Well, there's one thing to know it, and there's another thing to, like, respect it and adhere to it, because clearly what he did today on the practice field, forget the red shorts, black shorts part of it, when he then takes off his shoes to change his shorts, and he pulls his shorts down, and he tries to kick them away angrily, and he swings and misses, and then he takes his gloves off and the rest of it, it does kind of reek of a tantrum. And I live with a 2-year-old, I know what a tantrum looks like. And I give her her Milky, and she wants to drink her Milky out of the new cup. And I told her today, the new cup's not washed, and so she takes the old cup, and now we throw the old cup, because have it new cup, have it Mila's cup. And it's like, honey, I'm going to say it again. The cup is not clean. You're going to have milk in this cup, or you're not going to have milk. Have it new cup. That's kind of what this is, and I don't have the audio on Brandon Ayuk, but every time I watch it, Mark, it reminds me of my 25-month-old, not my 25-year-old receiver, my 25-month-old daughter.
I mean,
it's a tantrum.
For me, tantrum's a little bit of a strong word without knowing exactly what it all sounded like, but I will at minimum meet you halfway, which is that if you were in a mood to just comply with what your boss asked you to do, it wouldn't look like that. That at minimum is some sort of moodiness that is expressed when you finally comply with the request to change your shorts.
Right.
And Kyle, of course, walked away very frustrated, very animated. And the fact that in the press conference afterwards, he kind of did the shrug, no big deal thing is exactly the way professional sports teams handle situations like this.
And if you haven't seen the video, he goes over once and there's a quick exchange and Shanahan walks away 8 steps. And when he gets 8 steps away, clearly Brandon Ayuk said something to the effect of, nah, I'm going to keep wearing the red. And Kyle actually stops in his tracks and swivels. And when he goes back, then you see Jacob Cowing and Chris Conley, who were both near Brandon Ayuk, they flee.
That's enough for me, Doug.
And the assistant coach who's also there, he flees. And now it's just Kyle and it's Brandon.
Which is what you do when you hear somebody starting to get a little bit of a tongue lashing or whatever. You're like, let's get out of here because it's going to embarrass the person even more and make it more anxious if we're sitting here looking over their shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm flashing on a number of these. I'm trying to remember where it was, but somebody said something to me in a management position, and I responded with something to the effect of, what if I don't? And then
oh God.
The boss was like, it was one of those like,
you won't.
Totally. Well, yeah, the door got closed.
Yeah, I was going to say, first thing, why don't you close that door right there?
Yeah, the door gets closed.
Yeah, but there's no doors out on the practice field, so they just decided, let's walk away.
Right.
Kyle needs some privacy.
And it was during a time, though, unfortunately, where, you know, reporters are allowed to record. Because for those of you who have never been to a practice as a media member, which is most of you, there's a time when you're allowed to record stuff, and then there's a time when you're not.
Yep.
And this was clearly a time when you were allowed to have your phones out.
GPD is in Hayward and wants to weigh in. What's up, GPD? We love having you.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
We're fantastic, buddy.
I am doing very well. I just want to say one thing. Whoever his father is, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody's parents or anything. I have a 5-year-old. I tell a 5-year-old, you need to do this, and you need to do it like that. They conform. This is a grown man getting a big bag. It's real simple. You have a J-O-B. You know what that is? Yes, we all do. Brother, please. You come to work, they tell you to wear steel-toed boots like I do on my construction site. You wear that. You wear a fluorescent green shirt because that's the uniform, and we're working on the side of the freeway or whatever. You do that. You're getting paid. I'm not paying people $30 million, bro. I'm paying you $50 an hour, $40 an hour. You're getting paid so much money. There's no reason for you to be acting like a child. And I'm going to tell this, I'm not putting nobody on Front Street, but Brandon, your daddy needs to step up and tell you, boy, you need to do your J-O-B, get with the program. Please, you're acting like a child. I dropped the mic, and I love you guys.
GPD, thanks. Thank you very much.
I don't know about pointing the finger toward his father when he is 25 years old. And it's, you know, if my son, who is 23, does something, I don't have jurisdiction over his decisions. Now I can inform him the way that I think that he should comport himself. But ultimately, when you get into your 20s, and forget being 18, oh, now you're an adult. Well, I think when you get to be at this point, he's been a professional football player now for 5 years. This is year 5, playing for Shanahan for all 5 years. I would imagine he understands and knows the expectations and the rules. So I don't point the finger at his father.
I don't even know what his relationship is with his father. Well, I'm actually looking at our buddy Jason Dumas did an interview with Brandon Ayuk's parents as they got ready for the Super Bowl. Their names are Pete and Martha.
Okay.
And they look incredibly sweet.
Nice.
On Instagram. They look like a wonderful couple and a wonderful family as I sit here and just judge a book by its cover.
And Brandon, by all measurements, is a good person. He's not somebody who has gotten into any trouble off the field. He hasn't gotten in any trouble on the field.
This isn't personal. This isn't personal. This is 49er football. For me, this isn't personal. This is about the team, and that's what I see. I see someone who right now has fallen into the trap, and I get it. I do. I really get where this started, has fallen into the trap of being eligible for a contract extension. It really, really got to his emotions. He has admitted that. I get that too. It's got to be, you know, frustrating at times when you think you're worth X and someone else tells you you're worth Y, especially when you've performed at a high level and gone to a Super Bowl and all the things that Brandon achieved last year and been wide open in the end zone on what would have won the game. All of that stuff. I get it. I really do. But it led to what feels like 5 months of habitual behavior that when it finally ended way too late, you're having a hard time kind of stepping out of that bucket, which is me, 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 me. Like it's time to get back into team mode. It was back the first week of August when they offered you what you were asking for and you didn't sign it. In my opinion, you made a me decision that day and every subsequent day where you didn't show up to be at camp. And you did it again today, whether it's big, small, or otherwise.
He's 26 and a half, so I want to make sure that I'm accurate on his relative age. Okay. I said he was 25, 26 and a half, so closer to 30 than he is to 20, and certainly old enough to make his own decisions independent of any parents. And, you know, the old, they say they don't want me. They say they don't want me wearing red, is I think what he was really saying.
They did. They did say that.
Yeah.
Mike in Lemoore is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Mike. Thank you for the call.
No worries. I love your guys' show.
Nice.
There is no room for error or no room for distractions in this quote-unquote last dance season. And in the real world, I just texted my friend who's a former Army Ranger and asked him, what would happen if he were to show up in a uniform during a uniform inspection day wearing the wrong colors when you were asked to wear a certain type of uniform?
Oh, boy.
And he said you would get your blank handed to you, and you would get written up. And if you were to get two more of those, you would get demoted, and it would have pay ramifications on your paycheck. And why does Brandon Ayuk think he can get away with these little antics, which they do matter, believe it or not, because before you know it, he can Antonio Brown his way out of here. And the next thing you know, we can see him running off the field, pulling off his shirt. You know, like, I'm not saying his behavior is like that at all, one bit, but if you don't get this situation under control fast and put out this fire, because I think this fire is still burning from the contract situation that happened during this whole offseason. I still think he is not happy. Honestly, his actions prove that he doesn't want to be here. He wants to be with Jaden Daniels. Yes, he got the money, but that frustration that Kyle Shanahan showed us, it shows us that he's up to here with Brandon Ayuk. And I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to act this way that we would see a trade coming. Because right now we're missing a defensive tackle. And if Brandon Ayuk continues to act like this, would you guys trade him for a defensive tackle?
Well,
who's more important, I think, than Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, Mike, that's an interesting thought. Thank you for the call. I think we're a little bit, maybe a lot of bit, early in the game.
Too far down that road.
Well, I just, like, the other thing is player for player trades in the NFL are even more complex than pick for player trades in the NFL. You rarely see them, especially at the highest of levels, and they've been round and round about trading Brandon Ayuk for the last couple of months. And at the end of the day, everybody who knows something here sort of has come away with the impression that both Brandon and the Niners at their core did not want to part ways. That's why they're still together. Has that changed in the last 3 weeks because of a couple of losses and a couple of dropped balls? I very, very much doubt it. I don't think something like today at all is going to be something that pushes them off the edge of the cliff, in other words, if there is frustration there. I just think it's something that we see as another chapter in the book. You know, it's another whatever. It's
breaking the wall.
Yeah, like that's a good
way
to say.
Shout out Pink Floyd.
Yes, yes.
Well, it becomes tolerable up until the annoyance supersedes the talent level. And, you know, I reference my coaching occasionally. These sorts of things remind me of coaching high school volleyball, where I had a star player who will remain nameless, who was a pain in the butt. And it was tolerated for so long because he was our best player and we were on a winning course. But we got to a point where it was no longer tolerable. and actions had to be taken. Actions were taken, and fortunately, we were able to salvage the player and salvage the championship season. This is not nearly to that level, but it's clear that Kyle Shanahan is beyond annoyed. He's frustrated, yet you need Brandon Ayuk because, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, he's a very good player. He's a tier two wide receiver in the league. And if you wanted to rank all the receivers in football, you wouldn't get past 15 before getting to Brandon Ayuk, and you probably would reach him before you got too far past number 10. And, you know, forget the salary, just the player that he can be in this offense. He can be a very important player on a championship team.
Well, it's funny. We're so week to week with our thoughts, especially on football.
Yeah.
That the comment you just made, I feel like 3 weeks ago, there's not a human being on earth that wouldn't have agreed with you. He's definitely top 15. He's probably top 10.
But
then
now,
you watch 3 weeks of football, and you see rookies like Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. pop, and Brandon's dropping a few balls, and Juwan goes for $179. And I bet there are some people who've changed their mind on what you said just in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and
I'm not there yet, but I bet I
part of that is fantasy.
Yes.
And if you look at the stats, and I'm looking at it right now, he is tied for 50th, 50th in catches, and I'm looking at some of the names of people who also have 11 catches.
Yeah.
Greg Dortch. I had to go to Dorchy first. Alan Lazard, who had a monster week one and not much since. Elijah Moore. Recently paid Michael Pittman Jr. only has 11 catches. That's hearing about that.
Well, because his quarterback cannot throw a football accurately.
That's fair point.
Yep.
There's Trey Tucker. There's Jameson Williams. Michael Wilson on my bench. Brian Thomas. You get the point. He's tied for 50th with 11 catches. He has zero touchdowns. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and die on the hill of him being top 10. But he is still important to this team.
Yes, agreed. Let's go to Pat in South San Jose. Hi, Pat. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. I just had a little funny story. Actually, two kind of funny stories. One, maybe for like the casual listener, might sound like a little foolish, like the shorts thing, but a funny story. I was actually a JUCO transfer, and when I went up to 4-year, I was a late recruit, so I didn't really know like the whole protocol, but we had to wear black shorts to practice too. Usually you practice in shells, as you guys know. So I'm like, all right, I go to the field in my junior college shorts, but they're black, but they say San Jose City. And like out of nowhere, they just stop the whole practice. Everyone gets on the line and just starts running. It's like, I don't know. They take it serious, even though it's something so simple. It's like there's like an unspoken unity about, you know, everyone in the same attire, same gear, this and that. So I learned the hard way, and everyone was pretty pissed at me, like, I made us all run. But I don't know if maybe, like, every listener kind of understands, like, especially if you played, you know, like, that bond, or, like, that little, there's, like, unspoken unity, and one little thing can kind of mess up the feng shui. So I get it, why it's kind of a bigger deal than it sounds. So it was just a funny story, reminded me of that.
Well, Pat, I'd say this, and thank you for the call. It's a big enough deal that Kyle Shanahan went over there to deal with it. Like, if it wasn't a big deal to him, he wouldn't have dealt with it. But, and he sent someone to deal with it, and that didn't work, and then he had to deal with it, and then that didn't work, so then he had to deal with it, like, really deal with it.
Right.
And so, in the last two calls, we've compared this to college football and the military, and I'd argue it's neither of those things. In the NFL, you are given more leeway than you are in college, and it's clearly not the military, but your points are well taken. Which is to say, it's a team. There is a unity aspect of this. There is an aspect of this is how we do things around here. And I would argue that, by and large, the most successful teams follow that a little bit harder than the less successful teams. Ask Bill Belichick how he would have felt about, go do your own thing. Go do your own thing. I mean, he fined a player for making a funny in a press conference about Rex Ryan. Like, do your job. We're not straying from the deal.
Think about your buddy Rich Ornberger, yeah, who was running late to a practice, and so he faked a car accident, or he actually intentionally got into a car accident.
I forgot. Thank you for bringing this up.
So Rich Ornberger was going to be late to practice, and correct me if I'm wrong, and so instead of being late and feeling the wrath, he got into a car accident on purpose so that he could say, hey, I got in a car accident, I'm going to be late.
Yep, that's correct.
And it's, I mean, that just, the story never gets old, no. And I can't wait to talk to him on the show again, because it's funny, but it also speaks to this, where you would rather crash your car,
yes,
than violate a rule and feel the wrath of a head coach.
If Rich Ornberger had shown up with red shorts on Black Shorts Day, and by the way, all days are Black Shorts Days.
Exactly.
With the San Francisco 49ers, but if he had done that, I feel like he would have found a Sharpie before he went out to the field and drawn his red shorts black. You follow the rules.
Or you might have been cut.
Yeah.
And it's, I know, yeah, Brandon's in a little bit of a different sphere.
Yeah, not for $30 million.
Exactly, yeah. But still, just the idea of, you know, you toeing the line or else, and it just, I don't know, the fact that he was given black shorts and he put them in his pocket, as opposed to, oh man, thanks assistant coach for hipping me to the fact that I forgot that I'm in these reds. Let me hurry and put these black shorts on because I don't want to get in trouble. Instead it was, thanks, dog.
Thanks.
I'm going to go ahead and put these, thanks.
Thanks.
I'm going to go ahead and put these in my pocket.
Dave and Hayward. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Hey, fellas. So I have a little bit of an opposite view. I'm excluding today because that's just stupid. But go all the way back to the contract negotiations. I don't care what he did. This is a proven pattern. Every athlete does all the same stuff. Debo did it. Then he got threatened with his life. These are athletes. And now Brandon Ayuk, well, his hands are off. Right? His hands are off. His timing's off. That's because he missed camp. And I'm mad at him because that offer was on the table for 2 weeks before he accepted. So that's on him. But his separation rate is still first in the NFL. So believe his hands will come and he'll be worth every single penny of $30 million. And that's what he's worth because the second Waddle signed for $28.3 million, nobody can say Brandon is worth less than that. Let's leave him alone except for the stupidity today, guys. That's all I got.
And Dave, it's a fair point, but let me respond with this. I know that some of you look at it that way. I take a little bit of a different view. When we say, for example, Jalen Waddle makes 28, so Brandon makes 30. You're not wrong. I will not call you wrong. That is the quote going rate. However, I'm allowed to believe that it shouldn't be the going rate. I don't think Jalen Waddle should make 28. I don't think Brandon should make 30. I don't think any of these things. I don't think that Devontae Smith should make 25. That percentage of the cap is not commensurate with how much wide receivers contribute to winning, in my opinion.
Based on the team, Amon-Ra deserves to make 30. And Justin Jefferson, you could argue, deserves to make 35.
I'll agree to a point, but those numbers, in my opinion, should still be a little bit less. We're all okay with Christian McCaffrey making less than 20. Those players are not more important to that team.
And he is grossly overpaid.
McCaffrey?
What's he done this year? All he's done is eat bratwurst and drank beer.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Salzburg.
Good trip overseas.